bow with me. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, there's nothing more than we want to do than sing your praise. We praise you in the morning, the noontime, and in the evening. Your name is above all names. We celebrate and praise you today. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, good morning. Welcome to our 10:30 service. If you have your Bible, find your place in Genesis chapter number 42. I'm Pastor Mike. If you're a guest with us today, we're honored to have you today with us as we continue to think about what I'm calling family secrets, family matters. Family secrets, family matters. And we've been looking at these things together for quite some time, and my prayer is that it's been a blessing for you as you think about these things. We read about all of these wonderful people, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We think of them as people of faith who walked with God. Surely everything in their families, everything in their lives was perfect and good, but we discover that it was not. And in the midst of all of these hard difficulties that they faced in their families, they still put their trust in God. And I hope that that will be a blessing for you today. Now, you found your place in Genesis 42, and then also if you'll find your place and just put a mark or a note there somehow for Genesis chapter 50. We'll look there in just a moment. Genesis 42, and then also Genesis chapter 50. Now, we find and discover in this portion of God's word that there's been a famine in the land of Canaan, and Jacob has said to his sons for them to go to Egypt and to find grain and to buy grain. Egypt had the grain, and we discover also that Joseph, their brother, unbeknownst to them, is the leader of Egypt, put in charge by Pharaoh. And as a result of that, they meet up with their brother. So we begin reading just for the sake of time. We'll look at just a few passages together. But first of all, we'll begin reading in chapter 42, verse number 21. This is when the brothers are talking to one another because Joseph has said to them, you have to bring back your younger brother before we'll help you with grain. And they said to one another, this is Genesis 42, 21. They said to one another, truly we are guilty concerning our brother, because we saw the distress of his soul when he pleaded with us, yet we would not listen. Therefore this distress has come upon us. Reuben answered them and said, did I not tell you, do not sin against the boy, and you would not listen? Now comes the reckoning for his blood. Now they were saying all this to one another, and Joseph is there through an interpreter. He knows it's his brothers. His brothers don't know it's him. And so he hears them say all of these words about him. They did not know, however, that Joseph understood, verse 23, for there was an interpreter between them. And here's the phrase I want you to see. Now as Joseph is reunited, surprisingly, with his brothers who had treated him so badly, he heard what they said in verse 24. He turned away from them and he wept. And then we read in Genesis chapter 50 these very familiar words. We looked at them several weeks ago, and I bring them back to your attention today as Joseph is explaining to his brothers how God has worked through the terrible family pain that they've experienced together. Genesis 50, verse number 20. As for you, this is Joseph speaking to his brothers. As for you, you meant evil against me. That is the way you treated me, throwing me in the pit, selling me away. But God meant it for good in order to bring about this present result, to preserve many people alive. So therefore, do not be afraid, Joseph says to his brothers. I will provide for you and your little ones. So he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. Heavenly Father, now bless the reading of your word. May the Holy Spirit be our teacher. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our focal truth today is this, that God provided for Joseph in his painful family separation. God provided for Joseph in his painful family separation. Some in this room today know these words very well. Others of you, you're just learning your Bible and discovering these truths. I remind you again today, just briefly, why do we do this? Why do we spend time looking at these stories, these holy stories from the Old Testament that are given to us in the Word of God? Well, Paul said it this way, Romans chapter 15, verse 4. Whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction. So that means all of the Old Testament here, all these words, strange words, stories about, we call them the fathers of our faith, all the way through the kings, the stories of David and Solomon and all the rest, all the way through the prophets. What was written earlier, our Old Testament as we call it, from the book of Genesis to Malachi. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction. So we're here today taking Genesis to learn what God wants us to learn as Christians from these words, so that through the perseverance and the encouragement of Scriptures, you see, that's it. The Word of God, page by page, we read from Genesis through Malachi, page by page, so many different stories, so many different ways God worked and dealt with people through the perseverance and encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope. So this is our task today. Why would we come and spend our Sunday morning talking about this matter of what I call painful family separation? Now, there is another kind of family separation that is required in God's Word. A man shall leave when you're married, when you get married. A man shall leave his father and mother, separate, and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. There is the importance of marital separation from our families. That doesn't mean we leave them, we don't talk to them. It means that we establish our own family. There are other kinds of separation when we are following the will of God and God calls us to a job or to some place and we believe this is what He wants us to do and we're separated from our family. The Lord Jesus said that if you're going to follow Me, you must be willing to separate yourself from everything else in order to be My disciple. But no, today I'm talking about something that is global in its impact. It's something of a secret. You'll find people who are very successful and moving along in life who live with this pain, but they don't talk about it. It's hidden away. It's pushed away. It's suppressed because there is such great pain when there's been family separation. Separation, painful, bitter, angry, abusive, sinful separation between brothers and sisters, painful, sinful separation, abusive separation between parents and their children, and between husbands and wives. Painful separation of all kinds, and I'm not going to pretend to myself that as I speak today to this group and those who hear My voice, that there are not many of us in this room who have experienced painful family separation. That's why we talk about this. Nothing is more painful to a family than family separation that is bitter and sinful and abusive. Family separation leaves deep emotional scars. People live with these emotional scars of anger and unforgiveness and revenge and being cynical and critical and depression and isolation from others because of the way they've experienced deep pains in their families and they've separated themselves or they've been pushed out and rejected by their families. Family rejection and family abuse are all around us, and the wounds and the scars and the pain in the mind lingers. That's why we share the gospel. That's why we go and help people. That's why we share with them and we go to help people in all of their needs. I ask you today, are you one of those living in the deep pain of family separation? Well, you're not alone. the vast majority of people who live on this planet or have experienced, or I remind all of my young friends here, you may still yet, sadly, go through a season of time in your family where there is painful family separation. You see, Joseph lived with the deep pain of family hatred, rejection, and separation. His brothers took him, threw him in the pit, stripped him and humiliated him and left him for dead. And they didn't care. And yet Joseph experienced a surprise from God. What Joseph thought would never happen, amazingly, in God's gracious providence, happens. He is reunited with his brothers, not only with his brothers who had treated him so bad, but with his father, who greatly, greatly mourned his death. I have three observations for you, and we'll just pause on each of these for a moment, but I want you to think about them with me. Number one, Joseph accepted his painful family separation as the will of God. And you might add, if you take notes beside that, you see, God blessed Joseph. He accepted his painful family separation as the will of God, and God blessed him even though he experienced this great pain of family separation. Secondly, God provided Joseph with an unexpected family reunion with his brothers and his father. And in that, listen, number two, God tested him. God blessed him, though he experienced this terrible rejection from his brothers and his separation from his loving father. But God now tests him because all of a sudden what he thought would never happen, he's been living separated from them in Egypt, now happens, and God tests him. And finally, Joseph tells his brothers how God allowed. He gives testimony. He says, once he reveals himself to his brothers in their reunions, he talks to them, as we read in Genesis 50, what we've seen before. It's a famous verse. He tells his brothers how God allowed the painful treatment they gave to him and his separation from them to accomplish the purposes of God. Oh, there's so much for us who are God's children to learn and understand when we experience deep pain and struggles in our family lives. We may seek to walk with God and desire to walk with Him as close as we can, and yet as much as we walk with Him, we find the stinging pain of rejection and separation from those dearest to us, our families. Well, let's go back and look at this acceptance that Joseph came to have. Now, well over 20 years have gone by since Joseph was abandoned by his brothers and sold to slave traders. And we read in Genesis 41:50, now before the year of the famine came, this is Genesis 41:50, now before the year of the famine came, two sons were born to Joseph. And we read about his wife, the priest of an Egyptian. And Joseph named the firstborn Manasseh, for he said, God has made me forget all my trouble and all my father's household. And he named the second Ephraim, for he said, God has made me fruitful in the land of my affliction. Oh, we pause right here now. These words alone help us to understand how Joseph had come to trust God and accept him in all of the pain of his life. Joseph was violently separated from his family. He experienced real violence, physical violence. Some of God's people experienced this in their families. Physical violence. He was abusively separated from his family. He was physically accosted and thrown in a pit. He experienced violence and abuse. He lived now separate from his family in another place geographically. He yet longed in his heart to know about his father while he was there separated from them, and he endured affliction in his separation, but he accepted God's purpose in the separation. He came to do this. We don't know how. We don't have that in the Word of God, except that he is also recorded in Hebrews as one of those who walk by faith. And so Joseph here names his children. We don't know the occasion, what day, when it happened. We don't know the separation of time between the two brothers, except the older is Manasseh and the younger is Ephraim. Look what he says. Every day when he looked into the eyes of his oldest son, he remembered this. God has made me forget all my trouble and made me forget all my father's household. While he's lived now in Egypt, he's been blessed. He's been raised to the highest levels. He is Pharaoh's dominant leader. He is busy in government affairs. He is taking care of Egypt. He is directing and administrating for Pharaoh, the greatest king in all the world of the time. He's busy with what God has given him and blessed him with. And every time, now he's been blessed with a half Egyptian son, half Jew, half Egyptian. And God, every time he looks at Manasseh, God has made me forget all my trouble. And Ephraim, every time he looks at this young boy, every time he looks at this younger one, God has made me fruitful in the land of my afflictions. You see, Joseph accepted his family separation, but he trusted God in it. God made him forget. Some of you who've been living with difficulties in your families, time rolls by. Time is a healer. If you allow God to use it, time is a healer. Sometimes we wish it would be a certain way, but it's not. Time does help when God is at work and we submit to God even in our pain. God and His care for us and time are healers. God has made me forget all my troubles. This is a man who had been greatly abused by his family. And God has blessed me, made me fruitful. God has blessed me. He gives honor to God for all the blessings in his life. He glorified God, and he said so in the most special of ways. He named his children this so that whenever he said Manasseh, Ephraim, he remembers exactly what that means. Joseph had come to accept the painful family separation as the will of God. Now I ask you this today. If you're experiencing this in your life, have you? Have you come to accept what Paul teaches us all as Christians? Look, in all your circumstances, what I'm about to quote to you is what we do. Here's how we live. Give thanks to God, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. The worst of days for the Christian who is loved by God are the best of days. You see, this is for all of us. Give thanks to God, for this is the will of God for you in Jesus Christ. You don't know how God's going to use your pain and troubles in order for Him to be glorified and accomplish His purposes. Well, number two, all of a sudden we have a reunion. We're surprised by a reunion. Chapters 42, 43, 44, 45, 46, all the way through. We have this coming and going now between Joseph and his brothers. Now God tests Joseph. There are four reunions that take place with Joseph and his brothers, and finally with his father. Joseph was made to forget. God had allowed him to forget and had filled his life with other things for him to trust God, and never thought again he would see his brothers or his father. But now God tests him, and God has made him forget, and now God makes him remember. He forgot all of his pain and the joy of the birth of his children, and he remembered the pain when he saw his brothers. He heard their words. You see, the guilt never goes away when you've hurt someone, unless you've asked the Lord to forgive you and gone back to that person to make it right. The pain and guilt and the sword of conscience never stops cutting. Look at their conscience, 42:21. I read it. Truly we're guilty concerning our brother because we saw the distress of his soul when he pleaded with us, yet we would not listen. Therefore, distress has come upon us. Reuben says, now comes the reckoning for his blood. And Joseph hears all of that. He hears his brothers saying that to one another. And what does he do? He doesn't shout at them. He weeps. He turns away. This reunion was a long-awaited reunion. Coming, it's over 20 years now. It was an unexpected reunion. It was an emotional reunion. In fact, we read in chapter 42, verse 24, he turned away and he wept. We see in verse number 30 of chapter 43, he hurries out after he's brought them back to meet with him at his home. He hurries out. I'll just read it. It's chapter 43, verse 30. Joseph hurried out of the room, for he was deeply stirred over his brothers, and he sought a place to weep, and he entered his chamber, and he wept there. He couldn't cry in front of his brothers. He was so broken. The pain was so deep for what they had done, and he was sad to see how they grieved over what they had done. And finally, in chapter 45, he weeps so loudly that the Egyptians who served him heard it in his house. God makes me forget, and now God makes me remember. He brings back to me the very ones who treated me the worst. Now God tests him. What will Joseph do? How will he respond to his brothers? Well, it was a long-awaited, unexpected, emotional, surprising family reunion, but it was also a joyful and loving reunion. In chapter 45, we read these wonderful words that now, all of a sudden, Joseph falls on his brothers' necks and he tells them who he is. He says, Genesis 45:3, I am Joseph. And then his precious words, is my father still alive? After almost 25 years, he wants to know, is my father still alive? But his brothers could not answer, for they were dismayed. You see, God surprises us. As life seems to move along, time seems to go along and heal. Now all of a sudden, the blessing of God is followed by the test of God on this man of God, Joseph. What will he do? He identifies himself, and then in chapter 45, later in verse 15, he kisses all of his brothers. He weeps with them. They fall on one another and they have this reunion. It is a loving reunion. And finally, the sweetness of him being reunited with his father all these 20 plus years later is in chapter 46, verse 20. Can you see this in your mind? Joseph, the royal power under Pharaoh, with his gleaming Egyptian chariot, surrounded by his entourage of soldiers and servants running beside. He's going alongside, and we read Joseph prepared his chariot and he went to Goshen to meet his father Israel. As soon as he appeared before him, he fell on his neck and wept on his neck a long time. This is God's way of doing things. He does the unexpected. This is God's way of doing things in order to help us trust Him by faith. Some of you have now said, you put your hands and said, well, it's done, it's over. That part of my life is done. I can't do anything about it. God has made me forget all of that pain from my past. And then all of a sudden, the pain makers come back into your life. What will you do? What will you do? The Lord Jesus taught us that we're to bless those who curse us and we're to pray for those who despitefully use us. Well, finally, Joseph, after all of the reunion and all the back and forth, what does he say? Again, these famous words in chapter 50. He says to them, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Genesis 50:20. You see, his brothers now, they had gone to a funeral together. They bury their father. We'll talk about this next week. We'll talk about this because it's important for us to talk about caring for our fathers and mothers to the point of their death. This is a Christian matter, not just a Jewish matter. Well, they've all gone to a funeral. They've been reunited. Now the funeral's over, but the sting and the pain and the stinging conscience of guilt still plagues the brothers. Chapter 50, verse 15, when Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead, they said, "What if Joseph bears a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrong we did to him? What if Joseph, who has all the power now, who has all the marbles, who has all the chips, whatever you want to call, now Joseph, the tables have turned," we would say. 10 brothers against one. Threw him in the pit. Goodbye, you're gone. Good riddance. We're done with you. And now they come back and bow before this one, and God surprises them. What will they do? And what will Joseph do? Will he bear a grudge? They remind Joseph that their father had asked that he forgive them. Verse 17, "Please forgive them, I beg you, the transgression of your brothers and their sin, for they did you wrong. And now please forgive their transgression." You see, God tests him, and then he uses Joseph. Are you listening now? This is an order for all of us as believers. There's a lesson here for us. God has blessed you in saving you in Jesus Christ, but that does not mean that troubles and tribulations and difficulties won't come. No, he uses those in order to test you so that you might trust God and walk by faith. Walk by faith when everybody in your family mistreats you. Walk by faith when you have to stand alone. Walk by faith when you're the only one who's going to follow Jesus. And then as a result of being tested, he's able to use you. You see, testing always comes before our usefulness to God. This is the pattern of all of those in the Word of God that we follow who walk by faith. And this is true for all of us as believers. You see, Joseph learned in his painful separation that God works good for those who love him. He'd been to the bottom, he'd been to the top. He was in a pit and the slave traders came and got him, and then he was back in jail again for a lie of the boss he was so faithful to, who said he raped her. He was back in jail. And then he was there and forgotten in jail, and yet God worked for the good of this forgotten man, Joseph, who trusted God in his hardest days. You see, Joseph learned that God provides for those who love him. What an experience. The thing he desired more than anything else, he wanted to be reunited with his father, and God allowed it. He was reunited with his brothers, and he became the provider for his family. These are the words that we read in Genesis 50, 21. "So therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones." You see, Joseph understood the favor of God. Do you understand the favor of God as a believer? You see, as a result of being born again, you are a child of God. You are now a favored one because you're an adopted child of God. Joseph, the Word of God says over and over, the Lord was with Joseph. Joseph found favor in the sight of Potiphar, and he became his personal servant. The Lord was with Joseph and extended kindness to him and gave him favor in the sight of the chief jailer. Pharaoh finally said to him, "See, I have set you over all the land of Egypt." Do you know the favor of God in your life? Do you see his hand of mercy? Do you hear his voice of cheer? Just the time you need him, he's always near. Do you see it, my friend? Well, you see, this is the lesson that Joseph learned. Perhaps because he had learned the lesson, God now used this time in the circumstances to bless him. I ask you this today, if you're still living in your pain of unforgiveness toward family and toward others, in your anger, in your plans for revenge, in your happiness when you hear about their bad circumstances. You know, a lot can be said about how you feel about your enemies if you're rejoicing when your enemies suffer. You see, it made Joseph sad that his brothers were in this condition, and he forgave them. And he understood how God used it in his life. Now, almost 25 years later, You see, God's way of working isn't on our schedule. You may linger in your pain and struggle and separation from loved ones for the rest of your life, and you may never be reconciled this side of heaven. I know of a man, because of difficulty and pain in a relationship with a father, the father died and he never had the opportunity to be reconciled to his father this side of heaven. Separation stings, and it's hard for us to carry. So what do we learn? Things to remember and do. What do we do? Well, painful family separation produces lifelong consequences and emotional wounds. Look, you sit by people at work. You live by neighbors. You walk the streets that we walk here in these neighborhoods, surrounded by people, many of whom are deeply wounded emotionally because of what's happened to them and their families. Painful family separations separate families' lives. All of a sudden, you got family on this corner. They don't talk to the family on the next corner. And they live separate lives, and they don't even know the names of one another's children. Nothing is more joyful, however, than when God puts families back together. You know, there's a wonderful word for us as we're finishing that I just remind you of in the Word of God. It's the last words of the last prophecy and the last prophet in the Old Testament. It's the last words of Malachi in pointing toward the coming of John the Baptist and the coming of the Messiah. I read these words to you, Malachi chapter 4, verse number 6. Elijah will come, the prophet, before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord, and he will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, so that I will not come and smite the land with a curse. You know how fathers and sons and daughters and fathers and mothers are reunited? By repentance. By turning away from bitterness, turning away from anger, turning away from revenge, and doing like Jesus would have us do. You see, God does joyful things. You may be sitting in a circumstance and say, it'll never change. This is permanent. It's going to be this way for the rest of my life. Well, guess what? You're still alive. You're still alive. Perhaps it's not done yet. Maybe there's some more you have to learn before things happen. Trust the Lord that He is great enough to bring renewal and bring back relationships between you and your children, or you and your parents, or whomever it might be, where you've been separated. God brings good out of the painful family separations for those who love Him. What did Joseph say? With this we finish. It's an important word for us today. You meant it for evil against me. God meant it for good. To the praise of the glory of His grace, the Lord is near the door. And we pray, come, Lord Jesus.